The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mary Beth Yoder for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Flavor. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Real Simple Magazine, health.usnews.com, heart.org, npr.org, and Food Network Magazine. To start off, I've got an article for you from the July-August edition of Real Simple Magazine, Things Cooks Know, Fresh and Fruity, Crumbles and Crisps, Grunts and Slumps. These jammy baked desserts are some of the summer's greatest pleasure. But what's the difference? And what's the best fruit for a pan dowdy? Read on. Alrighty. Cobblers, grunts, slumps, pan dowdies, crisps, crumbles, and buckles. While slightly different in their own little ways, all these adorably named desserts generally follow the same playbook, says Abra Behrens, a chef in Three Oaks, Michigan, and the author of Pulp, a practical guide to cooking with fruit. Fruit gets tossed with sugar, goes into a baking dish or pot, and gets covered with something that bakes up crunchy on top and soft underneath. They're all so simple, but much more than the sum of their parts. They're even better when you use summer's peak season bounty, says Jocelyn Delk Adams, the baking expert behind the brand Grand Baby Cakes, and author of Everyday Grand, Soulful Recipes for Celebrating Life's Big and Small Moments. She says fresh fruit instead of frozen will elevate the overall flavor in a way that's unbeatable. Want to make and eat one? Of course you do. First, read up on exactly what these delightful desserts are. You'll be able to wow your friends with an explanation of the difference between a cobbler and a grunt. Then go to realsimple.com summer desserts to pick out a recipe or two. All right, so cobblers. For these, you bake fruit under a batter or dough topping. Behrens opts for a topping similar to cake batter. She pours it over fruit in a deep dish and bakes until the cake is pillowy and golden brown. Adams prefers a flaky, buttery pie crust topping. As for the fruit, you do you, Delk Adams says. Berries are super juicy and create the most luscious sauces when sweetened and baked. In-season stone fruits are my favorite, but the real fun comes from mixing together different fruits like apples and berries. You can be flexible with the amount of fruit you use, too, but if you want to be precise, Behrens suggests a quarter pound per person. All right, next up is grunts and slumps, two of things I've never heard of personally. Unlike the other desserts on this list, these rustic biscuit-topped treats are made on the stove, says Amber Eisler, baking school director at King Arthur Baking Company in Norwich, Vermont. Her easy recipe? Mix 4 cups of berries or other diced fruit with 1 cup of water and 1 cup of sugar, and always add a little salt. Place everything in a cast iron skillet or Dutch oven. Dollop biscuit dough on top, cover, and let the fruit simmer until it's syrupy and the dough is cooked through, about 15 minutes. And here's a fact. The terms grunt and slump can be used interchangeably, so use whichever one makes you giggle the most. While it's unclear where the names originated, Eisler says grunt likely refers to the sound the dessert makes while cooking, and slump probably describes the appearance of the plated portion. Interesting. All right, pan dowdies. Imagine a pie's laid-back cousin. A pan dowdy is made in a baking dish, not a pie plate, sometimes with a bottom crust and with pieces of crust arranged on top to let out steam and add texture, Behrens says. Well, you could cut the crust into various shapes to create a patterned masterpiece. You can also keep things rustic by baking the dessert and then breaking the still warm top crust into shards. The thin pastry won't absorb moisture the way a cakey or a crumbly topping does. So Barron's prefers drier fruit in a pan dowdy like apples, pears, and quince. All right, and there's my favorite, crisps and crumbles. Both of these bakes get their wow factor from a crust of buttery streusel. Is there a difference between them? I've heard crisp and crumble used interchangeably depending on region or even family tradition, Eisler says. At King Arthur, we often differentiate based on the presence or absence of rolled oats. Crumbled toppings include oats, while crisps do not. They both contain flour, sugar, and butter. Pretty much any summer fruit will shine in a crisp or crumble. Just toss it with a bit of sugar and a pinch of salt before topping and baking. And then finally, Buckles. Basically, coffee cake with fruit, Buckles likely got their name because the topping has an uneven or buckled appearance. The fruit, berries, stone fruit, and pineapples work especially well, is either folded into the batter or just sprinkled with streusel before baking. Eisler suggests playing with extra ingredients to complement your fruit, like lemon zest to perk up blueberries, cherries, blueberries, cherries, or peaches, and ginger to warm up plums. Don't forget the ice cream. All right, also from the Real Simple July-August 2023 edition, I've got a recipe for you. Grilled sausage hoagies with mango salsa. So here we go. Two mangoes peeled and pitted and cut into half-inch cubes. 1 cup of finely chopped red bell pepper. 1/4 cup finely chopped red onion. 1 small jalapeno stemmed, seeded, and finely chopped. 3 tablespoons of fresh lime juice from 3 limes. 2 tablespoons of chopped fresh cilantro plus more for topping. 1/4 teaspoon of kosher salt. 1/4 cup mayonnaise. 2 teaspoons sriracha. Canola oil for the grill. 4 4-to-5-ounce sausages, such as Italian sausage, bratwurst, or chicken sausage, and 4 hoagie rolls that have been hinge split. Stir together the mangoes, bell pepper, onion, jalapeno, lime juice, cilantro, and salt in a medium bowl. Stir together the mayonnaise and sriracha in a small bowl. Preheat the grill to medium, which is 350 to 400 degrees Fahrenheit, on one side. Keep the other side unlit. Lightly oil the grates. Place sausages on the unlit side of the grill. Grill covered until firm, about 8 minutes. Transfer sausages to the lit side of the grill. Grill uncovered, turning occasionally until charred in spots and cooked through 5 to 8 minutes. Transfer to a plate. Place the hoagie rolls, split side down, on the lit side of the grill. Grill uncovered until toasted and golden 1 to 2 minutes. Spread the mayonnaise mixture evenly over the split sides of the toasted rolls. Add sausages and top with the mango salsa and cilantro. And it should take you about 25 minutes to do all of that, and you've got a nice sausage meal for 4. Next up, I found another recipe in the same magazine, July-August edition of Real Simple, and it sounds delicious. I'm going to try it. Pink lemonade pie. 20 cream-filled lemon sandwich cookies, such as Oreos. 1 cup of cornflakes cereal, 1/4 teaspoon of kosher salt, 5 tablespoons of unsalted butter melted, 2 cups of heavy cream divided, 1 cup of sour cream, 1 14-ounce can of sweetened condensed milk, 1/2 a cup of partially thawed frozen pink or regular lemonade concentrate, such as Minute Maid, 4 to 6 drops of red liquid food coloring, and that's optional, 3 tablespoons of confectioner's sugar divided, and lemon zest for topping. All right, so place the cookies, cornflakes, and salt in a food processor. Pulse until finely ground. Add butter. Pulse until the mixture resembles coarse crumbs, 4 to 6 pulses. Spoon into a 9-inch deep dish pie plate, firmly pressing into the bottom and up the sides of the dish. Freeze, uncovered, until firm, about 15 minutes. Meanwhile, beat 1.5 cups of heavy cream in a large bowl with a hand mixer on medium speed until stiff peaks form, about 3 minutes. Set aside, uncovered, at room temperature. Beat the sour cream, and it says no need to clean the beaters, in a separate large bowl on medium-high speed until creamy, about 1 minute. Add condensed milk, lemonade concentrate, and food coloring if you're using it. Add 1 tablespoon of sugar. Beat on low speed until just combined. Gently fold in whipped cream until just combined. Remove the crust from the freezer. Spoon filling into the crust, spreading evenly. Refrigerate uncovered until set, at least 4 hours and up to 12 hours. Beat the remaining 1/2 cup heavy cream in a large bowl with a hand mixer on medium speed until slightly thickened and foamy, about 45 seconds. Add remaining 2 tablespoons of sugar. Beat on medium speed until stiff peaks form. Spoon the whipped cream into the center of the pie. Top with the lemon zest. Next up, I have a quite lengthy article for you from health.usnews.com, and it's foods to avoid before bed. More than 25% of adults in the U.S. aren't getting enough sleep, according to 2020 data from the United States Office of Disease Prevention and Health Promotion. You probably didn't need a study to tell you that you're sleep deprived, but you might want some help figuring out how to get in extra Z's. Among other factors, healthy eating can support sleep health. The foods we eat can affect the quality and duration of our sleep, says Yazi Ansari, a registered dietitian and spokesperson for the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics based in Los Angeles. What's more, both sleep and nutrition can impact daily life activities like daily energy levels or alertness while driving, and lack of sleep can increase the risk for diseases such as diabetes and heart disease. Before you lay your head on the pillow, it's important to think about how much you're eating as well as when. Experts say it's optimal to space several smaller meals and snacks across the day rather than getting most of your calories later in the day and having a large meal at night before bed. That kind of heavier meal can slow digestion, leaving lots of gastrointestinal work to be done while you're trying to doze off. I encourage clients to be mindful when it comes to portion sizes before bed, Ansari says. It is difficult to sleep and stay asleep if you are feeling uncomfortably full. Consistent eating patterns are important for a good night's rest. For example, if we're skipping meals during the first half of the day and coming home to feast closer to bedtime, that is going to affect our sleep quality. Just because it's smart to avoid late-night snacking before bed doesn't mean it's easy. Avoiding night snacking may mean taking some time off to get to know yourself and your hunger cues, says Cordialis Mazora Casago, a registered dietitian nutritionist and founder of Mitano Nutrition and Lifestyle Medicine in Menifee, California. Before grabbing a snack right before bed, ask yourself if you really are hungry, says Mazora Casago. Oftentimes, hunger pains that occur after dinner or the last meal of the day occur not necessarily because you are physically hungry, but because you are bored, stressed, tired, or, yes, even sleepy. She adds that sometimes, after reflecting on why you might have the urge to snack, you may find that you are physically hungry. To feed physical hunger in a way that doesn't hurt your sleep, she recommends opting for foods that are rich in tryptophan, a natural amino acid that helps support sleep. Ideas for tryptophan-rich, sleep-supportive snacks can include things like small portions of turkey with cheese, nuts, oatmeal, or a handful of tart cherries. Bedtime is a time of relaxation and renewal, says Mazora Casago. What you put in your body at around bedtime is essential to promoting a healthy night's sleep. With that in mind, here are some food and drinks to avoid, or at least have less of, before bed. Spicy foods can provoke or contribute to heartburn, which can feel more intense in horizontal positions, like lying on your back for sleep. This is because when lying down, gravity is working against the body's ability to push food down through the digestive tract. Especially for people who suffer from acid reflux disease or gastroesophageal reflux disease, it can be a good idea to avoid spicy foods before bed to reduce the risk of heartburn or at least wait a few hours before lying down. If someone experiences acid reflux from spicy foods and lies down right after eating spicy foods, the acid from the stomach can flow back into the esophagus more easily, causing a burning sensation in the chest, which may disturb sleep, says Jessica Clifford, a registered dietitian nutritionist and research associate in the Department of Food Science and Human Nutrition at Colorado State University. Foods that can contribute to acid reflux include hot or spicy foods like red peppers and hot salsa, fatty and greasy foods like bacon, certain cheeses, and fried chicken, citrus fruits, and tomatoes. Jonathan Valdez, dietitian and owner of Genki Nutrition in New York City, says that in addition to spicy foods, he notices that eating big quantities of food or consuming alcohol can increase acid reflux risks before bed. Stress can also increase reflux, he adds. Alcohol can make some people feel sleepy or put them to bed earlier, but that doesn't translate to restful sleep, says Mazora Casago. When under the influence, your quality of sleep is disrupted and a restorative rest becomes elusive. Consuming alcohol may help some people drift off faster, but apart from other health considerations, it's no sleep aid. That's because it can negatively affect the quality of sleep. It disturbs the most restorative stage of sleep called REM sleep, causing a person to feel groggier and less rested. A reason for the restless nights is that alcohol increases the chemical adenosine, Ansari explains. While that helps to induce sleep initially, once the level of the chemical lessens in the body, you're more likely to wake up in the middle of the night. All right, the next one is caffeine. However, caffeine isn't limited just to coffee. You should also watch your consumption of chocolate, anything chocolate-flavored, from pudding and ice cream to cereal, if you like a bowl before bed. Avoid dark chocolate, too. Foods that are high in fat, saturated fat, usually take longer to digest. This may affect sleep for some. Also, sugar, having dessert, sweetened beverages, or anything else that's infused with sugar could impact the quality of your sleep. Just as overeating can interfere with sleep, so can overdrinking, and not just alcohol. We're talking about excess fluids like water, milk, juice, or sodas can overactivate your bladder, forcing you to waste precious sleeping time running to the bathroom. While it's a good idea to stay hydrated throughout the day and drink water at night in moderation, dietitians recommend against chugging a huge glass of fluid before bed. So for a night of deep sleep, here's what to avoid eating and drinking before bed. Big meals, spicy foods and other things that cause heartburn, alcohol, caffeine in all its forms, burgers and fries and other fatty foods, sugar, and lots of fluids. Next up, beat the heat with hydrating foods this summer. And this is from heart.org. Staying hydrated can help you live a longer, healthier life, but drinking multiple glasses of water throughout the day isn't for everyone. Health experts say that's okay. While fluids are important, hydration doesn't just come in a bottle or from the tap. In fact, at least 19% of a U.S. adult's water intake typically comes from water-rich foods, and they're not hard to find. A lot of foods are high in water content, especially fruits and vegetables, says Penny Chris Etherton, Evan Pugh University Professor of Nutritional Sciences at Penn State University in University Park, Pennsylvania. Eating those foods is a way of helping to maintain good hydration status. Though it has no calories, water plays a vital role in keeping people healthy. It prevents dehydration, helps rid the body of waste products, lubricates joints, protects the spinal cord, helps to keep body temperature in the normal range, helps manage body weight, and can help reduce calories when substituted for sweetened beverages such as soda or iced tea. The National Academy of Medicine recommends men consume 13 8-ounce glasses of water per day, and women consume 9, more if they're pregnant or breastfeeding. Dehydration occurs when people don't consume enough, and symptoms may appear with a water deficit as low as 2% under the recommended amount. Symptoms may include fatigue, confusion, or short-term memory loss, and mood changes such as irritability or depression. The important thing is to stay hydrated, Chris Etherton said, regardless of where the water comes from. When looking for water-rich foods, head straight to the produce department, said Georgia Jones, an associate professor in the nutrition department at the University of Nebraska in Lincoln. Aim for fruits and vegetables that contain at least 85% water, she says. Cucumbers top the list at about 95% water, Chris Etherton said. They're also low in calories, while high in fiber and vitamins K and A. The neat thing about fruits and vegetables is they bring with them some important nutrients in addition to water, she said. Tomatoes are another good source for hydration, along with cantaloupe, honeydew, and watermelon. Also water-rich are celery, peaches, zucchini, radishes, and asparagus. And lettuce can also provide a good amount of water, Jones said. Snacking on fruit is a good way to get the extra hydration needed after exercise or other activities that cause a lot of perspiration, Chris Etherton said. But don't forget to drink water. When choosing foods for hydration or any other purpose, Jones said it's important to seek a wide variety. Don't stick with just one kind and be willing to try new things. What's not good for hydration are drinks that contain alcohol or caffeine, including many popular energy drinks, Chris Etherton said. They can worsen dehydration, and sport drinks often contain a lot of sugar. They're really not a good source of fluid for staying hydrated. You need to read the labels. But remember that fruits and veggies can't completely replace daily fluid, Chris Etherton said. If a 100-gram cucumber is 95% water, that's 95 grams or 3.3 of the recommended 72 ounces of water per day for women. You'd be eating a lot of cucumbers, she said. Next up from NPR.org, NIH study uses AI to study diet and tailor nutrition advice to improve health. Our bodies respond differently to food. A new study aims to find out how. Genetics, gut microbes, and other lifestyle and environmental factors can impact how people's body react to food. There's plenty of one-size-fits-all nutrition advice, but there's mounting evidence that people respond differently to food given differences in biology, lifestyle, and gut microbiomes. The National Institute of Health wants to learn more about these individual responses through a Nutrition for Precision Health study. And this week, researchers began enrolling participants to take part in the study at 14 sites across the U.S. It's part of the All of Us research initiative that aims to use data from a million participants to understand how differences in our biology, lifestyle, and environment can affect our health. Holly Nicastro of the NIH Office of Nutritional Research says the goal of the Precision Nutrition Study is to help develop tailored approaches for people. We'll use machine learning and artificial intelligence to develop algorithms that can predict how individuals will respond to a given food or dietary pattern. The study will take into account a person's genetics, gut microbes, and other lifestyle information and social factors to help individuals develop eating recommendations that improve overall health, Nicastro says. The dietary guidelines for Americans are helpful in setting overall recommendations for healthy eating, yet Nicastro points to studies that show how much variation there can be in how individuals respond to specific foods or diets. For instance, a published study showed that even when people eat identical meals, their levels of triglycerides, glucose, and insulin response can vary. I'm going to wrap it up there because we're running out of time today, and I will finish this NIH study article from NPR.org. I will finish that for you next month. One last quick tip for you, fish for life. The secret to staying youthful may be hiding at the fish counter. A recent study shows that omega-3 fatty acids found in fatty fish like salmon and mackerel may reduce the biological signs of aging. So get on eating that fish. We've run out of time for today's episode of Flavor. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm reading for the North Carolina. I'm Mary Beth Yoder, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Flavor is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.